Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Praise the Lord. We're going to get right into the Word. Living Free as a Disciple of Jesus, Part 6 is what we're working on. And interestingly enough, we find ourselves over in Job, finding some anchor scriptures that will help us put things into perspective. We're going to read Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, and verses 14 through 17. You've probably heard these before, probably even at a memorial service, but this is what we're going to use today. Man is born of a woman, is of a few days, and full of trouble. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself?
Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one.
Since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, you have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. You shall call and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands.
For now remember my steps, but do not watch over my sin.
Verse 17 together. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity. Let's pray. God, these words that are just seem like they're just so out of character in one way, but then again, they're so profound. Because, Lord, we take it to ourselves that man is born of a woman is a few days, but he's full of trouble. And, Lord, there's trouble in our lives, and some of us didn't intend for it to be that way. But today I pray, God, that through your word, we're going to find out that we can live free as your disciple. In the midst of this perverse and hard time generation, that, God, people will come to a place of really knowing you and loving you and serving you. And so I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that he'll be our teacher today. And Lord, we'll give him all the praise and the honor and the glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. The prophetic words of Job resonate through every tribe, every kindred, every culture, which means the most primitive of societies will not escape the eventual encounter with our Father and his Son Jesus. I don't care who you are. You don't have to believe in God, but you will see him.
Amen.
I said this before, everybody's going to heaven, but everybody ain't staying. Oh, you'll all make it up there, but some of you will not be staying. It'll just be a visit. But the deal behind this is that all men will answer that final call as we exist in this world, exit this world, to the one that will last forever. Well, in spite of the flawed lifestyle of Solomon, he got it right when he said, and this is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. I think they have these for us. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The Lord, as we were worshiping, the Lord gave me a word, and this is for somebody sitting here today. And this is a very simple word. The change will be worth it.
Amen.
What does that mean? For some of you, it means a lot of different things, because there's at this time, the Holy Spirit is calling upon you to make a change. It's not just like a temporary fix. It's a change forever. Let me give you some questions. Have you discovered that Jesus has empowered you to live in power and victory over this present world, that you're not being held hostage? That you're triumphant over the things that God is, over the particular elements that we're facing? Or how about this? Have you allowed the pain and suffering around you to isolate you from operating in the realm of the kingdom of God? Because if you're looking for pain and suffering, you don't have to look very far. You don't have to watch the evening news. Just walk down the streets. You'll see people in pain and suffering. But furthermore, are you willing to embrace the reality that you are one of God's appointed ones to make a difference in this world? Man is born of a woman, so of a few days and full of trouble. I want to contemplate a couple of things today as we look at this and review a few things from last week. We must act upon the power we have to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And that's James 4:7. I want to tell you that you are not being held hostage by the devil. The Bible says you resist him. And I want to show you how to practically resist the devil. Is hang up the phone. She called me this. Don't you know you have the power to hang up the phone? You have the power to go control alt delete. You have the power not to answer some of the things that are happening to you. Well, she said this, I'm going to get right back at her. Here she goes. Are you crazy? Let it go. And so the fact of the matter is, recognize the Spirit of God within you is greater than the power of the devil. 1 John 4:4, I think they'll show that to you in a sec. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I said, well, I don't really believe that. Well, you should, because it's the truth. This is just a review from last week, but I think we need to talk about this again. Secondly, we should not be ignorant of the devices used by the devil, 2 Corinthians 2:11. That means this. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. When you go to a place and you have bad food and you go back there again, that's your fault. That cook still ain't no good. What you doing back there? He already told you he can't cook. But we do that. We have repetitive cycles because we think if we keep doing it, it'll get better. No, it won't. You know, until we are changed and redeemed by the power of the blood, that person that lied to you last time will lie to you again. You want to get a different response? Mm-mm. Well, I could get into this. Let me go a little further. God has prepared us for great things if we walk in obedience. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many are ready for great things? How many are ready to obey? Amen. Half the hands. Okay. You ain't ready. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Here we go. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Let me show you what love looks like. Love, I did an alliteration on the word love. Let me give it to you real quickly. Love is first learning how to listen. The O in love is love overlooks the offenses and wrongs of other people. The V in love is love volunteers. See, some of you are stuck on, well, if she really loved me, she'd serve me. Get off your whatever and do something. And the love in E in love is everlasting. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Last one was, our battle is not just our flesh, but spiritual forces that are constantly opposing us. Ephesians 6:12. Here we go. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, some of you, I am not trying to make you demon conscious. They're already here. But you know what? In the same way that Peter was overtaken by the devil temporarily, you are susceptible to the same thing. Because sometimes we don't know what you're going to do or what you're going to say. But we're going to talk about the positive of this, of really walking in the power of the Spirit. Living in spiritual power as Jesus' disciple, 2 Peter 1:3. This is beautiful. This sets us up. As his divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. You are designed to be full of godliness. You know what godliness is? Godlikeness. He said, what's that? It's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. That's what the Holy Spirit does. In the times when you don't have any faith, the Holy Spirit says, no problem, I'll help you with that. When the times when you don't have any peace, the Holy Spirit says, he'll give you peace that passes all understanding. He says, I don't know why I'm so peaceful because everything's just so stressful around me. The Holy Spirit shows up and gives you what you need and what you at that very moment. Oh, I know this is good. Well, we have all things. The Holy Spirit empowers us with everything we need to fully live as a follower of Jesus. How many followers of Jesus? Wave your hand high. Oh, good. I love this. So the part about this, if as a follower of Jesus, then we've been empowered to do some things, some exploits that the world really doesn't understand. Which simply means this. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit empowers us to do the things that will help us as well as others. As well as others. This is not a Lone Ranger thing. It means simply this. We're commissioned to live in victorious power over the powers of the enemy. Being filled with the Spirit daily is what allows us to live free and to do the work of the Lord. Now, if you go to the scripture, it talks about be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to define that for you theologically. What that means is basically what biblical interpretation means. But like Jesus, we must be willing to live and do miracles under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I did not accidentally put miracles in there. Every single person in here that is a believer has been empowered to do miracles. I said, what? Yeah, go ahead. You might as well clap. You say, I don't know how to do miracles. Do you know Jesus? You're a miracle worker. What does that mean? There will be times that the Holy Spirit is going to direct you to pray for someone. And by you praying for that particular person, may lay hands on them, may not. And God will use you as an agent to impart to them what is necessary that no other way would they obtain it but through the miraculous power of Jesus that will flow through you. Well, what does that mean? Jesus did the things not because he was God, but because he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, wait a minute, hold on. He's the Son of God. Yes, that's true. We just witnessed baptism, right? What happened when Jesus got baptized? The Holy Spirit appears as a dove, as a witness to what's going on, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and from that day on, that's what started his ministry. Jesus didn't minister to anybody until that day. Some people try to minimize or marginalize baptism. Baptism is a big deal. You say, well, does it make you saved? No. If you go in there a sinner and you haven't repented, you just become a wet sinner. That's pretty much it. In warm water. We have warm water today, so warm water. Warm water, wet sinner. But the deal is that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes as a witness. And what did he say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And that's what launched Jesus' ministry. And that's who will launch your ministry. The Holy Spirit's appointment upon your life will launch you into ministry where you'll be able to do things that you were never able to do before the Holy Spirit showed up. Yeah, he was the Son of God, but the Holy Spirit was that part that, and the matter of fact about it is the Holy Spirit is still here today. He left the Holy Spirit behind to empower you to do the same things that he did and even greater things. Oh, glory. We must be ready to live outside ourselves and perform those things the Holy Spirit directs us to. The fact of the matter is that when you're still stuck on you, God can't do what he needs to do. Well, we enter the realm of the Spirit when we choose to believe the commands of Jesus in the Bible and the words spoken by the Holy Spirit. John 14:12. Here we go. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Let's stop right there just for a moment. What are some of the things that Jesus did? Somebody spoke it out there. Raise the dead. I don't be raising dead folks. Matter of fact, I stay away from dead people. I need to tell you, this actually happened. I was 16 years old. We were at church on a Wednesday night. Sister Anna Fitz, she's a lady in our church, she passed out. This is back before the days of 911. Work with me, folks. Before they had cell phones, the phone that they had in the church didn't work. We had to go next door to find one. In the interim time, she died. It's on Wednesday night prayer. I mean, there's only like a handful of us folks, maybe 12 people. I stand before God, and may God strike me dead if I'm not telling the truth. But the deal was, I'm this 15 and a half, this is right before I was called in the ministry. The Lord says, pray for her. I'm thinking, somebody already told me she dead. No, I'm serious. And I don't do dead people, right? So, you know, everybody, and all of you just crying. God said, pray for her. I said, I should be crying with everybody, right? The Holy Spirit will often cause you to do contradictory to what everybody else is doing. Because he's about to do something different than what people expected. Come on, work with me, folks. This has a good ending. Okay. So I kind of sneak up through the hair, and I kind of put my hand through the crowd and say nothing to nobody. Jesus, Jesus. And all of a sudden, she goes, I said, oh, Jesus. And then, pardon me for saying this, but she lets out this big burp, and up she came. And God brought her back to life. And you know what? She lived 32 more years. Scared me. Another time I was at a Full Gospel Business meeting. I told this story one time before, real quickly. I was there. They said, pray for folks and this type of thing. And everybody pray for somebody. I'm thinking, oh, that's great. And so this lady comes to me, and you know, says, will you pray for me, blah, blah, blah. And so I pray for her. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Lord, heal her. I didn't ask her what was wrong with her. Come to find out, the woman was blind and had been blind for all of her life, and God healed her, and I was scared that I ran out of that place. I want to tell you, it's not about you. It's about God using you. You need to take the limits off of what God can do through you and start being who God calls you to be. I'm going to get stirred up in a minute. Look out. I'm liking that. Okay. Being filled with the Spirit is not a divine suggestion of things we might do. Ephesians 5, 18, I'm kind of rushing through some things, but I want to get to a point. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or waste, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to just analyze this without condemning anybody. But when you're drunk, you do crazy stuff. You don't talk, you talk funny. You walk funny. You see things that aren't there. Isn't that right? They're coming out. They're everywhere. And can't nobody understand you. You're just a mess, okay? And this is self-inflicted, right? I mean, you just drank till you're just out of your mind. And the point of saying this is you're going to be under the control of something or someone. Why can't it be the Holy Spirit who will always do good through your life? I want to purposely invite you to invite the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. And that means he's not going to do strange things. The Holy Spirit is, I need to tell you this, but the Holy Spirit is not weird. Now, some of y'all are weird, but he's not weird. Well, he used what he got, but some of you are a little weird, and he has to fix you. But the deal is this. He says, don't be drunk with wine, But fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, and great things will occur. The more we are filled with the Spirit, the more God can empower us and control our lives. Because see, when you're filled with wine, the wine controls you. Is that not true? When you're filled with the Spirit controls you. Is that true? But the Holy Spirit will control you to the fact where you are an instrument of righteousness, proclaiming the joy of the Lord on this earth. There's some people that you'll meet, and you say, well, why are you so bubbly and why are you so wonderful? It's because of Jesus. And that's your witness right there. Because normally left to yourself, honey, folks, we wouldn't hang around with you. You don't have much going on, really? You know, sorry. At the time of your salvation, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Let me break it down to you this way. We are washed and regenerated by the power of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, and get this if you can, He lives inside of you. Now, to some people, that's scary. Jesus lives inside of me, and we have some thoughts that really aren't that good. Or sometimes we don't do what we should. I'm going to fix that for you in a minute. When you receive the Spirit of God, you don't receive a portion of Him, you receive all of Him. Oh my. See, the problem that we have, we become compartmental Christians. Now, Jesus, you can have this corner over here. Stay right over there. Don't come over here, because that's my part. No. He takes all in all of us. Well, the Holy Spirit is the director of our life that will move us closer to God and make us more effective in the world. He regenerates us, He sustains us, and He empowers us. Regeneration is like rejuvenation. You take something that needs some work. How many of you, when you came to Jesus, need some work? The rest of you lying. You need some work done. I'm not going to get into the culture of our society, but everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody, there are people that they don't like their nose, they'll go to somebody to get a different nose. And I'm not going to go any further than the nose. I'm going to leave it alone. But we find ourselves rejuvenating ourselves into a particular picture of who we believe we ought to be. But God knew exactly who you were, and He wants to make you over into who He desires for you to be. He comforts, encourages, and teaches us the ways of the Lord. There are several people in this audience this morning I know that need to be comforted by God because you had a rough week, or there's a rough week ahead of you, or you have some hard decisions to make. But you know what? The Holy Spirit, as you're living in the power of Jesus, will bring you comfort when you should just be flying in pieces. Say, I don't know what's wrong with me. Everything's going wrong, but I just have this peace inside of me. Guess who it is? It's the Holy Spirit. And people say, I don't see how you can be so calm when this such a thing happened. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you to do that. Furthermore, He intercedes, speaks, and reveals Jesus to us. Let me tell you about intercession. Intercession is when you are willing to not make it all about you. You realize you've got your problems, but the Holy Spirit says, you need to pray for Pete and Trish. Huh? I got my own problems. The Holy Spirit says, you pray for them. Do you know it's the Holy Spirit that will place a burden on your heart for someone else, but you'll get the joy of knowing that God is using you to bless someone else? Will you stop being so hoarding of the blessing and become a channel through which the Holy Spirit can flow? Anybody willing to do that? Because that's why we're here. So what does that mean? That furthermore, that He brings conviction of sin. I don't have to convict you of anything. What you doing with that? What's that you got in your pocket? What's that you got in your mouth? Wacky tobacco. Don't have to. I've seen people, I remember back when the Jesus People Revival was going, I've been around a long time, I need to tell you that. It was back in the 60s. And there would be young people that would come to the church. Matter of fact, I have witnesses here that prove this is true. They would come to that church and they would be drunk. They could not even function. They'd be high as a kite. Holy Spirit would hit them and they'd be completely sober, walking in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. When God got through with them. Don't limit the power of God, of the Holy Spirit, of what He can do. Take the limits off of God. He can do that. You're thinking, well, what are you talking about? When conviction of sin comes, and you put it away, and you allow the Holy Spirit comes in, do you think He's going to leave all this other garbage around? He says, uh-uh. The sin goes and everything along with it, and He just moves it out. Cleansed, renewed, washed, sanctified. That's what you are. Let me ask a question. Anybody ever have that happen to you? Wave your hand at me. You see what I mean? God does that. So I've got witnesses here in the house today. Okay, let's move on a little bit further. Evidence of the Holy Spirit filling your life will allow you to effectively live in both realms. That's what we've been talking about. In the spirit and in the natural realm. Does that mean that you're double-minded? No. We're living here, but we're aware of the things around us, which simply means this. You'll experience God's incredible love for you and the people around you. How does that work? As much as we want to say, well, I'm glad I don't live in Boston. Well, my daughter lives in Boston. So all these snowstorms and this type of thing. And I don't say that for you to feel sorry for her, but the thing was, but the idea behind it is, I want to have compassion for people that there's a part of this thing you don't see. It's more than a snowstorm. Somebody didn't make it to work, which caused a hardship for their family. Somebody tried to make it to work and got killed in the process. You see what I mean? Somehow we cannot divorce ourselves from other people's suffering. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit will put us to a place where we needed to intercede. Lord, protect them. Lord, take care of them. Lord, provide for them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He moves you out of your selfish little self-willed self into a place where you see things more globally than you see myopically on your particular play. Or you will desire to serve people in ways that only the Spirit can accomplish through you. You say, I don't know why, but I just feel like I need to get involved and serve people. I need to tell you, number one, that is not you. We know you. Ain't you. Or how about this? You'll desire to spend more time with God. When the Holy Spirit is in your life, you're saying, you know, I need to read more, or I need to pray more. It's not for you to get a badge. It's so you'll know Him more. How about this? You would desire to share God's love with people in practical ways. This last week, we've been moving into a different house. And, oh, Lord have mercy. It was late one evening, and so I've been moving stuff all day long. And I don't do pizza often, but it was the only place that was open. So I go to this pizza place, and I'm sitting down at this place, and I order a pizza, a little small pizza or whatever. And this gentleman comes in. He sits down at my table like he knows me. I'm thinking, I am not interested in conversation, okay? Oh, I'm just being real. I'm not interested in conversation. You sit over there, I'll sit over here. It's all good. He looks at me and says, hey, can you give me $3.45 because I'm a little short on my pizza? Oh, Jesus, help me. Now he wants to ask me, am I saved, right? And so I looked at his money there because I have this, you know, mind for money. And he wasn't $3 and stuff short. He's only $2.72 short, okay? I said, a small piece is only $6.99. Dude, you're closer than you think you are. Help me, Jesus! I'm going to get saved in a minute. But right now, I'm a slacker. I'm a sinner, okay? Come on. So the Lord said, give him the money. Gladly gave him the money. And so And you can tell by the, so I said, well, I better engage him in conversation. I said, well, where do you live? He says, well, he says, I used to live in this neighborhood. He said, I said, oh, great. He's a kid, probably about 23, 24. He's obviously been on the streets, which is, that's okay. I said, well, where are you living now? He says, nowhere. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This could get costly. I'm going to leave it alone. Okay. But, so I'm just engaging in conversation. Then I see him pick up a napkin off the table. And because he didn't order a salad bar, he puts three napkins together and he goes to the salad bar and starts filling up on the salad bar. Now, how do you put potato salad, macaroni salad, Jell-O, and fruit on napkins? He did. So I'm watching him do this and I'm thinking, God says, don't judge him, love him. Somebody go get saved today. Watch. You watch and see. And so he did this little thing, and then his pizza comes. He gets his little pizza. That pizza was that big. And looking at his pizza, and my pizza is this big. You know what comes next, don't you? Oh, and actually, my pizza came before his. I said, would you like a piece of pizza? Oh, yeah. God said, give him half your pizza. Not a piece of your pizza, half of your pizza. And of course, you know, thinking, he got a pizza coming. I already bought part of his pizza. See, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus. God says, I call you to love him. So I gave him half my pizza and another slice just because I was so mean. And he said, well, did you witness to him? Did he come to Jesus? By the time the fellow had such a rough time, by the time he finished that pizza, the guy fell asleep on the table. And believe me, I was out of gas too as I left. But the experience was this. If someone can show love, you don't know what God's going to do the next time somebody comes along. You're only called to do what God told you to do. You're only called to say yes to what God tells you to say yes to. Don't get into that condemnation type thing. A couple more things and we'll be done, at least for today. The joy and the fruit of the Spirit will transcend from the natural to supernatural realm. You'll find the ability to live victoriously over sin. This is something that somebody needs to hear. I know there's cyclic behavior that many of us have, of sin that kind of reoccurs or something we stumble over. But if it wasn't possible for us to live victoriously over sin, God would never even suggested it. So you will speak faith, hope, and love into the lives of people that you encounter. I had a lady who was speaking to me yesterday, and she says, I just have to admit to you, she says, I have a hard time forgiving people. There are people that, you know, if you hurt me, if you offended me, she says, I will hold a grudge forever. I said, really? Oh, yeah. She says, I don't really want it to be that way, but I will hold a grudge with people forever. I said, let me serve notice on you today. That's going to change. I said, but do you want it to change? Oh, yeah, I've been this way all my life. I'm almost 50 years old. And it's always, and she starts crying. I said, honey, dry those tears. God's going to deliver you. You mean I don't have to live like that? No. And that's the hope that we give to folks who've been trapped by the devil's devices all their life. We give them hope in Jesus' name that we can cast that spirit away from them, that they can be who they've always wanted to be. Nobody wants to live miserable. Well, so we speak faith, hope, and love to folks. You will serve people with a willing heart. And then we get to this last little part. God's divine design for us is to live in authority over the enemy, Acts 26:18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. God is going to open some people's eyes today. We sing the song here, "Open the Eyes of My Heart. I want to see you." Here's how it works. We do not have a passive role as a believer in the grand scheme of life, which means this: Jesus can and did destroy the works of the devil by his resurrection on the third day. Somebody say amen. He didn't negotiate, he destroyed the works of the devil. Which means this: even though the enemy may continue to assault us, we must not live under the power of intimidation and fear. Some of you feel, "Oh, I'm not going to repent today because I'll have to do it tomorrow, or I'll still have the same situation, I'll still have the same, you know, propensities or appetite for sin." And so the devil can keep some people under his control by intimidation. And you know what he's told you? You'll never change. You'll always be like this. You'll always have a bad attitude or whatever it happens to be. How about this? The oppression of the enemy often will take us or make us think that we are less than we are in Christ. It simply means this. Worship team, you'll make your way up here. I'm about ready to close. We must realize that we are living free to operate under the power of God, which means this: our first line of offense, not defense, is prayer. I'm going to stop right there and we'll finish this up next week. But prayer is not a defensive weapon. It's not just something you just kind of throw up there to block off the devil, to keep him from coming and doing something bad in your life. And some of you says closer, "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, devil, go away, devil, go away." Uh-uh. It's in the name of Jesus, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, you have no right, you have no lot, this is not where you belong, you have no power in the situation. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. I want to show you in the spiritual realm that God has a whole different perspective. But if you don't know your rights in Jesus, he'll just knock you around like he normally does. And the number one thing he does it with is fear. What if it doesn't work? The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a he.
Amen.
Log that into your brain. We're not dealing with its. We're dealing with a person. The Holy Spirit today is able to do exceedingly beyond what you could ask, think, or even imagine. Bow your heads with me right now, everybody. I really feel, matter of fact, I can go beyond feelings. I really know that God is going to turn some lives around. Because you lived in that place of intimidation for way too long. There's some of you that have wondered, how am I going to get out of this place? I've always been like this. My whole family's like this. We've all had a propensity to be this way. I want to erase from your thinking the idea that you have to live a scripted life of the mistakes of other people, because God is going to set you free. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray first. And then I'm going to ask for every person. Every person. That knows that God has brought them here. Whether it's for salvation. Whether it's to be activated in the Spirit. I'm going to ask you to come today. And allow God to set you free. There'll be just regular, ordinary people praying for you. Nobody's got a degree in anything except the fact of the power of the Holy Spirit can use us to do that. Listen as I pray. In the name of Jesus, Christ, the only Son of God, I cast out fear, despair, depression, all of those things. I cast out the idea and the thought of addiction, the thoughts of people that are hooked to their past over past mistakes, of promiscuity, of those who are being condemned because at one time they made a choice for an abortion. I come against that in the name of Jesus, that God can forgive and God can heal.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.